Good morning. Please take your seats. We're going to get started. My name is Sohail. I'm the chair of this year's MIPI DEF CON. It's my pleasure to welcome you to MIPI DEF CON Taipei. Thank you for your support and participation. We have a great agenda for you, starting with a keynote from MediaTek. They're going to be talking about automotive megatrends and technologies needed to realize such trends. I would like to also invite you to visit the demo room, which is right next door, where you'll get to see demonstrations of real MIPI products. Lunch will also be served in the demo room next door. Before we start, I would like to ask you to mute your phones. Also, if you picked up a headset for simultaneous translation, channel 1 is Chinese and channel 2 is English. Without further ado, let's get started. I would like to introduce our keynote speaker, Mr. Simon Teng. Simon joined MediaTek in 2015 as the member of new business development focusing on automotive. Currently, he's the assistant general manager of Intelligent Automotive Business Unit in MediaTek. Please help me welcome Mr. Simon Teng.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello, can you hear me? Good. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Simon Teng from MediaTek Automotive Business Unit. I feel very honored to be invited as one of the presenters in MIPI DEF CON. Today, I would like to talk about the automotive, especially the automatic driving application, which is ultimate goal currently, especially the automotive industry. I would like to also.
Can you mic him up, please?
So I would like to give talk about the technology involved in the automatic driving from the semiconductor provider's point of view, which we're including the roadmap, automatic driving roadmap, and also the processor architecture, and also the AI, which might be involved in the automatic driving, and also the sensor technology, and the communication technology, and also the high-speed interface technology that will be needed in the automatic driving. But before I go into the detail of each section, I would like to also give the introduction about the explain how MIPI involved in this technology domain and how important MIPI will be involved into the automotive industry. I think everybody knows that MIPI is very, very successful developing the technology and the standard for mobile phone. And because it's so successful, that's why the other industry that tried to leverage the similar application that will be first thought will be leverage the development that in the mobile application. So as you can see that the MIPI has been very successful develop the standard and the technology in the camera and also the display and also the touch and the storage and the audio, which is also very, very essential and also the center that in the automotive industry, which is using in the automatic driving. As you can see that there will be more camera. We've been talking to the OEM. Traditionally, maybe you have one or two cameras put into your vehicle, but you can now you can buy the car which has like more than 9 cameras in your vehicle. And there will be more display. Traditionally, there is one display in the cluster and one display in the central unit. And now, in the future, probably you will get like 9 or even 10 display from small size to bigger size display in your vehicle. So there's a lot of new things that are happening in designing the new vehicle architecture, which will be the critical domain that will be involving in adopting the new standard or a new interface to the vehicle design. So from the semiconductor point of view, MediaTek as one of the latecomers in the automotive industry, we definitely work with MIPI, and because we are very successfully introducing and adopting the MIPI technology in the mobile phone, and we definitely would like to leverage this kind of technology in the automotive solution provided to the OEM worldwide base. Okay. So I would like to go into the detail of the automatic driving. First, when you hear anything related to the automatic driving, you need to also understand this different stage, because there will be no one step that go from non-automatic driving vehicle to the automatic driving. So there will be a different kind of a stage. I think this is a very, very common one that everybody follow this kind of a roadmap. I think for the vehicle design, you start with everything is manually by the controlled by the driver. And then the first step is to take your feet off. And then the second step is to take your hands off. And then have your eyes off. And then the fourth step is to take your mind off. Then you can reach the fully automatic driving. Within different kind of stage, you are involving in different kind of technology application, and also different kind of, even the legal issue also involved, especially between the stage two, the level two and the level three. You can see that there is a change of the responsibility, which changed the responsibility from the driver itself and to the vehicle itself. And which means that will be the OEM's responsibility if there's any accident happen, because the driver will no longer take the responsibility or the control on the vehicle. So there's so many different kind of complicated things involving in the automatic driving development, which means that also a lot of new technology need to be created or leveraged or put into the new vehicle's design. And also which will imply the architecture need to be changed. Okay. So this is the overview about the automatic driving roadmap. Based on this kind of a roadmap, you can see that if we go into a little bit more detail on what is the architecture of the automatic driving, basically vehicle is just like an engine, either motor or the composite engine or different kind of engine. You have a four wheel. Basically, that is the mechanical and the electronic parts, right? So if the device need to be automatic driving by itself, which means that it need to be a lot more smarter than itself. So in order to make the machine become more smarter, you need to give them a lot of information. So if we break down the automatic driving system or the architecture, you can divide it into several subsystems. First one is we call the perception, which is the data collection. You need to have a lot of data put into the computation unit, so that the vehicle itself can understand the environmental situation and also even the situation in the vehicle. So you can have the sensor put into the inside the vehicle to understand the driver and the passenger. Normally, this kind of sensor will be the camera. And more important is to try to understand the vehicle's the environmental information, the status of the vehicle. Currently, there are several different kind of sensor that have been used in the vehicle design. From the shortest range one is the ultrasonic sensor. When you do the parking, normally that is the ultrasonics do the job and give you the warning signal for the object that might on your way. And except the ultrasonic, there will be a radar sensor. Currently, the newest technology will be the millimeter wave radar. Of course, the radar and the sensor, ultrasonic sensor, can only detect very effectively about the distance and also the velocity of the object related to the vehicle. But it's very difficult for them to understand what kind of content. For example, if the radar sensor detects the roadside, the traffic sign, it's very difficult for the radar to understand it's red light or the green light or the yellow light, or there is a kind of a speed limit. The radar sensor can detect there is a sign there, but it cannot understand the content of the object. So you do need the camera to understand the environmental situation or the information provided by the information from the different kind of object on the road. So there is also another sensor called LiDAR using the laser, which is also the very, very promising sensor. So if you look at all the sensor, you can see that the longest one is the radar sensor, which were up to like 300 meter. Beyond 300 meter, all these kind of sensor have a limitation to understand, because the distance is so long and there is some limitation. So which means that the sensor, even you have a more advanced, more complicated sensor combination, the best you can get is the information within 300 meters around the vehicle. But is that good enough? If you're driving in Germany, you have like a 200 kilometer or some section, you don't have the speed limit. So I think with the 300 meter, you can have like a 10 second, less, even less than 10 seconds response time to get the data and then convert that into the abstract model and then do the computation and the sensor fusion and then make the decision. I think the few seconds is not enough. So you do need information beyond the 300 meters. So that's why you do need some communication, which is the vehicle to vehicle, vehicle to infrastructure, and also some other vehicle even to the cloud service, to get some information beforehand that also you can have a more lead time to prepare that kind of event happening in the location beyond the 300 meter. So once you have all this kind of information, and then you need to convert that into the information that the computer or the processing unit can understand, which means that you need to abstract all this kind of a noise and filtering all this noise and combining all these different kind of sensors together, create a model that the vehicle or the processing unit can easily to develop the driving strategy. So we call the modeling stage. You have the driver model and the vehicle model and the environment model, and to apply different kind of scenario that are going to face in the driver's driving strategy. And the third stage, third subsystem is really the software getting to the important role. So you're going to have a different scenario like a traffic jam and in the high speed, in the freeway, and also in the city driving, there will be a different kind of a driving strategy adopt in different kind of a model. And the fourth one is trying to how to get an interface with the driver itself so that the driver will not get panicked. Okay. And the fourth stage and another one is based on the driving strategy, you really send a command into the motor, into the engine, and into the brake to control the vehicle. So this is the basic, the four subsystem, big subsystem to combine together to form the automatic driving system. Okay. So based on this kind of a subsystem, how we can see that there are several different kind of domain from the technology point of view, from the architectural point of view. So you have communication domain to collect the data through the telematics module and through the eco module. And you have a memory interface. You have ADAS in the automatic driving domain to do the sensor fusion, to do the modeling, to do the location, and also do the decision and the planning. And the fourth domain will be the vehicle control. Based on this four domain, all the communication will be the high-speed vehicle bus. Currently, using the CAN, CAN-FD is way too slow to communicate so many data that will be exchanged between the different kind of a domain. So we, in automotive industry, they do need a new interface, new standard, in order to deal with this kind of a new application. So that's why the technology to support all these kind of four different kind of domain will be the process architecture that is needed, and wireless communication technology, high-speed interface, and the sensor technology, low-power design, and AI. So this is the technology that we will be talking about. First one, the basis is still the process unit. I think on the left-hand side, you can see that the different type of the processor. From the more generic one is from the CPU. I think everybody know that the CPU is getting more and more powerful, but it's very, very generic. The problem with the CPU in the automatic driving is, which is good for the rule-based algorithm, but for some of the different type of algorithm, like a neural network type of algorithm, the CPU is not very efficient. You still can run the neural network type of algorithm in the CPU or GPU, but the power efficiency is not good enough. So I think in the future, in the automatic driving, the processor itself needs to be heterogeneous. You need to combine with the CPU, GPU, DSP, even the hardware accelerator, like the deep learning accelerator, especially for the neural network type, especially for the neural type of the AI algorithm will be used in the automatic driving system. Even more, you're going to have some special processor that will deal with camera, especially the camera. Because the camera as a sensor is very, very special because the data created by the image sensor is huge. If you calculate carefully on the 2 megapixel. We currently on the mobile phone, we are talking about probably 12 mega or even 15 or 18 megapixel. In the vehicle, if you have the high dynamic range, which means that in 1 pixel, you have a 24 bit to represent 1 pixel, which is 3 times than the normal image sensor in the mobile phone's application. And if you are using even the 2 megapixel, you need to at least 1 gigabit per second interface transmit the one frame to the central processor from the image sensor. So the data that is needed is very, very huge. So even from the processor point of view, you need to have a special processor to deal with the vision, to deal with the camera information. This is also one of the trends in the automotive industry. So as you can see that there will be a different type of processor and a different type of the application or algorithm that will be running in different type of the processor type. And the other technology I think is very, very important is because the requirement is more performance from the automatic driving application. Currently, the car OEM are asking for the ADAS domain controller, which is using, we talk about probably 150K DMIPS, and we are talking about 800G plus GPU capability. They are talking about probably around 20 tera MAC about the AI accelerator processor, which is a huge performance that is needed for the automatic driving algorithm and then the software running on this system. And also considering also the dual step, the safety requirement, which you need to have a real time, like a dual core lock steps mechanism designed in this kind of processor architecture, you do need to have a more backup processor capability, which create a lot of power consumption, and you do need more advanced processor node in order to save the power consumption. So if you look at the left-hand side, the process node involving from the early stage in the 1990 to currently 2020, the transistor number is getting much more, but actually the power consumption is trying to saturate. So currently the most advanced process node in automotive is the 7 nanometer, which is leading by the TSMC. And we truly believe that the automotive industry will adopt the most advanced process node in the automatic driving architecture. Okay. And you have a heterogeneous processor architecture. You have a more advanced process node and make the processing architecture very sophisticated and more advanced. But the problem with the heterogeneous architecture is the programming environment is getting more and more difficult. It's no longer just a CPU. You need to also create a very, very effective programming environment so that the software can be under control. Otherwise, the software bug will be a disaster for automatic driving. So how are you going to develop, based on this kind of architecture, how are you going to develop the programming environment we call the SDK, and also the middleware will be, and also the tool chain will be very, very critical in the automatic development technology, which MediaTek, we also provide this kind of a similar solution to the industry. And also the AI, we're also put into that. I think everybody talked about the AI and very, very important. The AI technology involving in the automatic driving mainly is in the perception area, but not only just perception. To get the recognition on the vehicle, on the pedestrian, on the traffic sign, and a lot of this kind of environment that you do need the neural network type of AI algorithm in order to make this more effective. The AI algorithm, now the recognition rate is even more advanced than the human eyes. But it's not only just that. The AI algorithm also involved in the driving, the planning driving strategies development, and especially to predict the motion planning, because you need to understand the other car's trend, and which is very, very difficult to use the rule base to do the planning. Okay. And even in the control area, to control the vehicle in the engine and also the brake and also the accelerator, this is also, there's some AI algorithm that can be used to help the decision making on the automatic driving more effective. Then I would like to talk about the sensor. As I mentioned, there are different kinds of sensors, including the camera, including the ultrasonic, including radar sensor, even including the LiDAR. This I would like to show you, especially the camera. As you can see, that there are so many cameras will be put into the vehicle for the automatic driving. On the front, you have the night vision camera, which is using a different sensor. You have to have at least triple different kind of image sensor to cover different range or different kind of FOV, field of view, in order to cover the all different kind of object in different region. So you have a full camera, you have two in vehicle, two in rear, and also two on the side. So total, you will be like more than 10 into roughly around the 10 in the vehicle to cover almost every corner around the vehicle. However, different type of the sensor has their weakness and also their strengths. For example, ultrasonic, the range is too short, only up to like a 7 meter. The radar is good, up to like 250 meter, and even some of the millimeter radar can up to like 300 meter. But the problem is the radar cannot recognize the content of the object. The LiDAR is good, also the range is in between, but it also cannot recognize the content. The camera is good, and up to like 96% to understand the content of that. But the camera has a problem, is the distance is the problem, and also the camera cannot detect the velocity. And also camera is like a 2D camera. If you want to create a 3D, like the distance detection, you need to have like a stereo camera, which we're using the calibration, using some calculation to calculate the distance. So the camera is, using the camera sensor, it's very difficult to detect the distance. That's why you need to have a stereo camera. So the combination and also the sensor fusion is very, very important in the sensor design, in especially for the automatic driving. And but however, when the car OEM try to think about the how to combine this kind of a sensor, the cost also will be a critical issue now. So currently, I think the most common combination is trying to use the radar and also the camera, because these two are the most mature one. The ultrasonic is even more mature, but the distance is too short. So it's very, very difficult for using the mid-range, up to like a 10 meters range detection. So radar and the camera will be probably the most common sensor that will be used in the automatic driving. Okay. And then I'll talk about wireless communication, which is very important. I think when we talk about the wireless, we are talking about the Wi-Fi, we are talking about the Bluetooth transition, we are talking about the LTE, the cellular base, including the 4G currently, and then 5G is coming in next year. Every OEM are going to be adopt the 5G technology in order to make the latency even shorter. Yeah. So I think the wireless technology is also very, very critical. Another one I would like to also highlight is the GPS technology. Currently, we are talking about the GPS, the resolution will be like 10 meters. And with the dual band, we can reach like 1 meter's resolution. And with the triple band, it's possible that we can have a GPS resolution within 1 centimeter, which is very, very crucial for the automatic driving to give the location, the absolute location of your vehicle. And based on that information, you can map into the 3D mapping, 3D map, so that you can also understand the environmental situation. So GPS technology is also one of the most important one in the automatic driving. The other technology in the wireless communication is the vehicle V2X. When we say V2X, it's the vehicle to vehicle, vehicle to infrastructure, vehicle to pedestrian. So there are different kind of application involving in the vehicle V2X technology. Currently, there are two different kind of approach. One is the Wi-Fi base, which is the 11P base. The other one is using the cellular base. I think that in China, government is supporting the cellular base. In US, in Europe, in Japan, government are kind of a neutral, more prefer the Wi-Fi base, because the Wi-Fi base V2X technology has been developed more than 20 years by GM, which is very mature. But I think a cellular base is the infrastructure investment is much, much less than the Wi-Fi base. So there will be a more and more popular trend that the government will support the cellular base V2X, which will involve in the PC5 and also the UU for the vehicle to infrastructure. And the PC5 protocol will be used for the vehicle to vehicle communication. another trend in the automatic driving is to put the telematics module and also the communication gateway into the roof, because the reception from the outside is much, much easier. So the smart antenna concept will be also very important. But in order to realize a smart antenna, you do need to have the chipset or the system need to be able to handle the high temperature, especially the sun is directly on the roof. So the ambient temperature, the environmental, running the environment, the operating environment is very, very critical on the roof. We're talking about 105 degrees environmental temperature that you are running at, especially in the eco. The last one I would like to talk about the high-speed interface, because there are so many sensors, so many information that you need to transmit or exchange between the different kind of a domain controller. You do need to have a new interface, especially the vehicle bus. Currently, Ethernet, I think maybe also developing the standard for the high-speed vehicle to replace the CAN bus in the vehicle. I think in the next 3 to 5 years will be a critical one, and automatic industry need to come to agreement what kind of interface, or combining or mix, because there are different kind of also there are some weakness or strengths, or the good side and the bad side for each different kind of standard. So automatic industry need to decide which kind of architecture of the vehicle bus need to be defined. I think at least we are talking about multi-giga. We are talking about like a 5 to 10 gigabit per second transmission rate in the vehicle bus as a bell-bound bus. Currently, only 100 megabit per second is way too slow and way too small. And also for the display, for the camera, for the data, there are different type of the interface and a different type of standard, and evolving into the more and more performance, including the bandwidth increase and also the performance getting increased. So this is not only just one standard will be adopted into the in order to realize the automatic driving, you need a lot of different kind of a new interface to develop for the automatic driving. Sorry, I speak a little bit longer than expect, but I try to cover every area. So if you have any question, please come to me, and I would like to answer and communicate with some more.